Of the many, many historic events of World War II, one of the most extraordinary was the Battle of Dunkirk, which occurred May of 1940. Hitler had unleashed a military onslaught on France. On May 27, remember that date? On May 27, the British Army, along with a number of Allied troops, was trapped against the sea and was facing utter defeat. So, the German high command made the following announcement. The British Army is encircled and our troops are proceeding to its annihilation. Hitler was winning. Winston Churchill announced that all the men were about to die or be taken prisoner. He referred to them as the whole root, core, and brain of the British Army. However, just 4 days earlier, on May 23, King George VI made an emotional appeal to the people of England. He asked for them to have a national day of prayer to be held on Sunday, May 26, the day before Dunkirk. On that Sunday morning, photographers captured long lines of people waiting to get into their churches and into their cathedrals to pray, because the churches and the cathedrals were full to overflowing of worshipers. The nation really prayed. And here's what happened. Three things. First, Hitler, for some unknown reason, temporarily halted the advance of his army. Second, a huge storm came up and it grounded the German army. And third, an unusual calm came over the English Channel, allowing 800 ships and other vessels to evacuate 338,000 men from Dunkirk. And because of all of that, history has recorded that battle as the miracle of Dunkirk. King George made an urgent appeal to the British people to pray, and it was with that same sense of urgency and faith that King David wrote Psalm 20. I have reproduced it on the back cover of the bulletin for you. I encourage you to follow along. Psalm 20 also called for a nation to go to their knees and to pray for their army during a time of war. David even gave his people guidance on what he thought they should pray. And he begins with these five phrases. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all of your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Did you notice something? All those opening verses of Psalm 20 are actually one long benediction. And it constitutes a prayer over the very people for whom David is praying. And that is an example of great spiritual leadership. And then in verse 5, David gave them this wonderful encouragement with these words: "We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God." That is a powerful, positive confession that's built on a very solid faith in Jehovah God. Oh, how our nation needs to hear words like those. Oh, how our nation desperately needs leaders. And I'm not just talking about a president. I'm talking about all of our leaders. Our nation desperately needs leaders who follow the Lord Jesus Christ so intimately that their first inclination is to call us to get onto our knees in times of distress. Have we had any distress in America lately? What kind of responses have we heard from some of our leaders during these times? And I'm not talking about traditional military actions. I'm talking about all of the enemies that we face in this country today, in these last days here on earth. I'm talking about the very dark challenges of this awful year, 2020. Isn't it going to be wonderful to turn that calendar over on December 31? I hope so. I like it. I hope not. I hope Jesus comes back first. And everything that's led up to 2020. For instance, I'm talking about the filth of pornography, that has become acceptable in our society as a way of life for some people, as entertainment for some people. What used to be X-rated is now PG. It's alarming. I'm talking about drug needles and street vendors who come up and whisper, "Taste this forbidden fruit." I'm talking about racism and greed and rampant manipulation of the system to get as much as possible for as little as possible. I'm talking about the open belittling of Christians in this nation and our Christian values. I'm talking about the life-changing virus and plagues that threaten us. I'm really appalled by the degree of fighting and backbiting that fills the halls of Capitol Hill and the White House. I'm sick of hearing about Twitter. I can't stand the venom that spews every day from CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all the rest of the news sources that we have at our disposal. I long for leaders who would lead us to be one nation under God and who would say things to us like, "May the Lord answer us and protect us and help us and support us and remember us and give us the desires of our hearts and make our plans succeed. Lord, give us leaders like that. And we will indeed shout for joy, just like David did." And I'm sick to death, as you are, of the biggest liar of them all, the devil, of whom Martin Luther said, "On earth is not his equal." I suspect if King David were standing here right now, he would say a loud, resounding, "Amen." When David wrote Psalm 20, I wonder if he was thinking of Deuteronomy 20. It says, beginning in verse 1, "When you go to war against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, Do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. He is the one true God. He powerfully sustained his chosen people, and he just as powerfully punished his chosen people when it was needed. And he is the same God who helped our founding fathers set up the roots of this nation, the United States of America. And he has powerfully sustained us. And he has just as powerfully punished us when it was needed. Brothers and sisters, we need David's prayer in Psalm 20 today just as much as they needed it thousands of years ago. This psalm actually began not with one long benediction, but with five benedictions. The first one is this: may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. Now, you can think of that personally. I invite you today to think of that personally as well as nationally. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. Right, Karen? That desire actually is stated from a human point of view, because the Lord does indeed answer our prayers. You know that. He doesn't always give us the answers that we want or that we prefer, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Think of this benediction this way: may the Lord's answer to your prayer be clear to you. That goes for your personal needs and for our nation. May we hear God clearly and submit to him. Now here's the second benediction: may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Now, to the ancient Jewish ear, the word name meant something far greater than the way we use the word name today. The word name for them expressed all the character and all of the attributes of God. Think what those are. After we just heard that stirring song, Mighty Warrior, all of the character and all the attributes of God. David was asking that the full force of God's power and might, and for the fullness of God's justice and mercy, and the fullest depth of his love and his discipline. Everything that is God be your umbrella of protection. I pray that over you, brothers and sisters. May it be over you. I think that's what King George might have had in mind when he asked the British people to pray before the Battle of Dunkirk. We need to pray with that kind of power. Benediction 3. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. When David used terms like sanctuary and Zion, he was referring to what the people at that time perceived to be the actual dwelling place of God. So in other words, David was praying that the help would come directly from God. Think about that. Can anyone be defeated when he or she has help coming directly from God? Of course not. Would you like that kind of help in your life? Coming directly from God? Would you like that kind of help for our nation? Coming directly from God? Of course you would. Oh God, our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come Boy, do we need that. May the leaders of our nation learn that truth and love that truth and live that truth and lead us with that kind of banner. Now, here's benediction four. May he remember all of your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. When David wrote Psalm 20, atonement for sin came just through just those kinds of rituals that he just mentioned, sacrifices and burnt offerings. So he was reminding everyone that when we are seeking God's help, we need to remember that we need his forgiveness. When we're seeking God's help, we also need his forgiveness. Good news. You don't really have to pray that part of Psalm 20 that way, because we are now in Christ. And God remembers and accepts the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins and for my sins. However, we do have to remember that we need his forgiveness as well as his assistance in our life. And since we're primarily dealing with our nation's need, then we certainly need to invoke this very familiar promise of God, which is also laced with his warning. You know this, 2 Chronicles 7. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Here's benediction five, and it's one of those scriptures that feels really good. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all of your plans succeed. I love that verse. I chose that verse for the front of the bulletin today. I'm going to take this home and put it on my refrigerator with one of my refrigerator magnets. And I'm going to hold it before myself. And then when I get tired of looking at it there, I'm going to take it down to my computer and I'm going to put it by my computer screen to keep reminding me. When I brought the bulletin home from the printer the other day, our primary caregiver for Elizabeth, whose name is Lois, you remember Lois? She used to come on Sundays with Elizabeth. She always wants to see and read the bulletin. In fact, she'd love to be here, but she can't. And she read that verse that she did not know. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. She said, I love that. She said, look, Elizabeth, look. And it just warmed her heart. I love that too. Here's what it really implies. May your desires and your plans reflect God's will for your life. Imagine that you were in a rowboat and you were coming to the shore. And you throw a rope out onto the shore and you hook it around something and then you begin to pull that rope. Are you pulling yourself to the shore? Or are you pulling the shore to you? You know the answer to that one. When you pray about your desires and your plans, you're not pulling God to your will. You are seeking to align yourself to his will. That is how you find victory in your prayers. Aligning your desires and your plans to God's will. Now, after the Battle of Dunkirk, King George stood on the balcony of Buckingham Palace. He came up to the microphone and he said this, "We give thanks to Almighty God for the victory he has granted us here in Europe. And that is what David modeled in Psalm 20 when he said in the next verse, we will shout for joy. And then in verse 6, David declared, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. That is a call for a national day of prayer. That is a call for a national day of thanksgiving. That is a call for us to lift up our banners in praise to God. Thanksgiving is framed on one side with prayer and on the other side with praise. Thanksgiving is a time for us, especially as Christians, as believers, to praise God and give thanks to God. It's not just a call to throw a party with a lot of good food or to fill a stadium with cheers for a team or to rejoice when the Blue Angels fly over, the flags fly over. Who delivers victories in your life? Who sustains our nation? We must not forget to give him the glory and the honor and the praise. That's what Thanksgiving Day is supposed to be. And that's why David brings Psalm 20 to this conclusion in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. There are several words that I suppose we could use to summarize those words. And I chose this one. Confidence. Confidence. In whom or in what do you place your confidence? In whom or in what does our nation place our collective confidence? As we face an unpredictable economy, as we face and ponder the results of the election, as we face the threats of cybersecurity attacks on our country, as we face the uncertainty of the resurgence of COVID-19, let us ask ourselves that very question every day, loudly. In whom or in what do we place our confidence? Now, David was not saying that chariots and horses are not important, armies are not important. He was saying they aren't enough. Our government, our wealth, our military, our first responders, all of them are very important, but they are not enough. As David said in verse 8, they are brought to their knees and fall. The same is true for me and for you. However, if we channel our trust where it belongs, it will result in what David said in the second half of verse 8. But we rise up and stand firm. Hallelujah. Here is another military illustration. In the late 17th century, the king of Poland was John Sobieski. He was an extremely popular king, and he became quite famous for all of his military victories, especially over the Turks in the Battle of Vienna in 1683. And as a result of that historic victory, the Pope declared that King Sobieski was the savior of Western civilization. The crowds roared their approval and applauded. And he rose to the occasion and gave this famous quote. And it's actually a paraphrase of Julius Caesar. Here it is. He said, "I came, I saw, God conquered." Hallelujah. I chose these words to close from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 1. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we honor you because you are so trustworthy. And we beseech you, O God, to heal our land. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and we humbly pray. Amen.